have our guest for the day lined up, ready and waiting. He is a man to talk all things German football, and he's a man who we need to step in and step into his office, if you will, and let him take us through everything that's been going on this summer on the I guess the strongest country in terms of economic quality and footballing quality on the continent. It is Mr. Christian Nyari joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Bundesliga. Christian, how are you doing today, mate? It's been a long time since we last spoke to you. How's the summer been, and how are you starting to miss life without German football? Are you ready for the season to begin?
Yeah, well, thanks for the nice introduction and the compliments on German football. It's I can't disagree with it, and it's very weird to hear anyone compliment German football so much, just because of how much it's transformed over the years, and now it's looked at as this great model for everyone. It wasn't always that case, but it's something that I have to get used to by now, I guess.
I'm sure it's easy to get used to with the big smile on your face as you say that, though, Christian, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't hurt. I mean, I was just reading an article today that the Super Cup between Bayern and Dortmund that will be played this Saturday, which is usually nothing more than, you know, a glamorized preseason friendly, is now going to be shown in almost 200 countries worldwide. And, you know, that's just indicative of the progress German football and, you know, the Bundesliga has made over the years.
It shows as well how these two sides especially have led that over the last few years with Dortmund and Bayern Munich being so strong. Would it be nice, though, to see some of the other sides really starting to close that gap on these two as well?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people are going to hold over the Bundesliga in the coming years, just how much of a gap there is between Bayern, especially Bayern and the rest of the league, but also Bayern Dortmund and the rest of the league. But I think if you look at the progress of the rest of the league, they're very much improving also. And, you know, we were talking about the going on in the summer. I think that most of the clubs in the league that are going to be competing in the top half of the table made improvements and made very good transfers. Whether that's enough to keep up with Bayern or Dortmund, I don't know. But it's the teams around them are definitely improving also.
Now, before we get into the individual transfers themselves and, of course, everything that's been going on in the preseason, especially that strong start for Bayern Munich, talking about this German model of football, it was discussed so much at the end of last season, especially with the two German sides in the Champions League final. In the transfer market, again, we've been hearing here in the UK almost every single day about the number of German transfers that are taking place and German players that are moving around the Bundesliga. That being said, is there any temptation, do you think, as German football gets stronger, it maybe gets more money in it, do you think there will be that temptation that we've seen leagues like the Premier League succumb to and start buying in from outside of Germany and maybe neglect slightly that homegrown player effect, or will they stay the course and distance right now?
That's always the danger with success, isn't it? But I think, I really, really believe that there is a precedent in Germany now that's going to prevent that from happening, just because managers or sporting directors and management of various clubs are seeing that the current model is succeeding, and there's really no reason to change it. Also, as long as their youth academies keep turning out these good young players, there's really no need to spend 10 times as much on someone from a foreign country who might not even adjust to the league.
No, of course it's you want these young players that can adjust to the league, but especially the sides that are playing catch up. Will there any you see sometimes maybe that quick fix starting to come in?
Can you repeat that?
It's great, of course, to have these young players coming out of the academies, but there will still surely be that rise in temptation for those sides that are playing catch up with Bayern Munich, you know, the likes of maybe a Schalke or a Leverkusen, to start diving out elsewhere, maybe to South America, where you can pick up players for slightly cheaper.
Sure, and these clubs are beginning to be linked more and more. Like you said, clubs like Schalke, Leverkusen, Hamburg, this summer, actually, they were linked to a lot of players abroad, more so than in the past. But in the end, what did they decide to do? They looked inward. They promoted from their own academies. They bought from other Bundesliga clubs, and I think that's just the model that's going to continue to follow going forward.
Well, let's hope that the German model does continue down the way it's been going, because the football coming out of Germany has obviously been absolutely fantastic to watch. When we look at the transfer market, there's been plenty of moves. A big loss for Bayer Leverkusen, of course, and André Schürrle. How big a loss, and how much will this affect Leverkusen, who really, at one point last year, were starting to push Borussia Dortmund to quite a level in that race for second?
Yeah, and they were the only team that beat Bayern in a, you know, their ridiculous record-breaking season. It would be a big loss if they didn't make a move to replace him, but they did, and I think they made an amazing move to replace him. They brought in Heung-min Son, a very, very talented young attacking player from Hamburg. He will play his position. He's even more versatile. He's got the same skill set. He's very, very quick, so he's going to fit their counter-attacking game. And he's already been playing in the Bundesliga for 3 seasons now, so he has experience. He's done, from all the reports, he's done very, very well in preseason. Whether that's going to translate into the on-field chemistry that Schürrle had with players like Kiefling, for example. And Schürrle was a big reason Stefan Kiefling had such a great year last year. That remains to be seen, but I think they made the best possible move to replace him, and they did it right after Schürrle finalized his move to Chelsea.
There's been a lot of talk about Heung-min Son coming in from Hamburg. How much of that Hamburg revival last year, pit for relegation until Van der Vaart joined, and then a lot of people said it was Van der Vaart's arrival that really stopped them from slipping down into that battle. But at the same time, how much of it was actually down to the rise of Son last season?
A lot of it, and especially because Van der Vaart towards the end of the season teetered out just a little bit, and even now in the summer there's talks about Van der Vaart not really being at his best. He's not 100% fit. There's still off-field distractions with his, you know, his marriage ending last season and new affairs every week. So there's a bit of a distraction there with him, and that was the case at the end of the last season as well. And Son really stepped up. He was, in my opinion, their most consistent attacking player. He really carried a lot of their attack. And the shame with Hamburg is that they really haven't brought anyone in to replace Son either. And Van der Vaart is getting older. He's definitely going to be asked to be the center of that team again. I don't know if it will have the same effect it did last season. There's a lot of noise surrounding Hamburg at the moment, especially with Frank Andersen, the sporting director, leaving, a new guy coming in, and his relationship with Coach Thorsten Fink, and then disagreeing on transfers. And Hamburg are also still a club that are trying to get rid of a lot of players they had on a very large squad, a lot of whom were brought in by Andersen, a lot of whom they're having trouble getting rid of even. So it's going to be interesting to track Hamburg's development this season.
With Leverkusen, you mentioned Stefan Kiebling and his incredible season last year, banging in the goals, of course, for Leverkusen. Are you surprised that we haven't seen any movement in the transfer market from anywhere in Germany or elsewhere for him? I was almost thought that if Schürrle was going to go, Kiebling could potentially be following as well with Leverkusen, but it seems to be staying put at the moment.
I was shocked at that. And normally, any league's top scorer would immediately get draw attention from other leagues. I mean, it happens all the time with the top scorers in France, and any other leagues, and it just wasn't the case with Stefan Kiebling. Maybe it's his age. He's approaching 30. But then again, he's like Miro Klose. His best years came when he was nearing his 30s as well. So Stefan Kiesling, to me, is a player who has gotten better with age. And I think I might have seen him linked with a move to Southampton. but that's, yeah, you would think a bigger club than that will be linked with him. But, I mean, it's great for Leverkusen and their supporters that no one's come to him.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be very happy that everybody's keeping their paws off him at the moment. But there's still plenty of time in the transfer window, of course, in Europe. Looking elsewhere, let's look at the top two for a little bit. Let's look at Borussia Dortmund first. Losing Mario Götze, and there was all those rumours about Lewandowski going to be off this summer as well. Lewandowski's staying, coming out though and saying that he feels kind of hard done by Borussia Dortmund, feels trapped, Robert Lewandowski, by staying at Dortmund because they won't let him leave. Is this going to have a big negative effect on Dortmund's season this season, do you think?
I'd like to say it won't, just because he was a very good professional last season when all those rumors were swirling around. I mean, keep in mind last season, even as early as halfway into the season, people were already had him pegged to leave, and that he's not going to be able to contribute to the team. The team's not going to struggle in the knockout stages of Champions League. And who was the guy who stepped up and led them to the final? It was Lewandowski. So he turned it around. He was a professional about it. I hope it's going to be the same this season, but going by the preseason friendlies, his body language was a little telling of his dissatisfaction. And a lot of Dortmund supporters are concerned that, you know, this is a guy who doesn't really want to be here. You know, he's always looking over his shoulder, looking at Bayern, obviously, thinking, what could have been, why am I not over there? And, you know, it's going to affect the performance. And it's for Dortmund, it's crucial that Lewandowski gets his head straight, because with Götze, they're losing a big goal-scoring part of that team. And a lot of that's going to mean more pressure on Lewandowski's shoulder. Despite, you know, players like Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang coming in, it's Lewandowski who everyone's going to look to this season.
What has been the reaction to those two signings that you mentioned, Mkhitaryan and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang? Obviously, Aubameyang did very well with Saint-Étienne last year, but it's always the scepticism of a player coming out of France and doing the business straight away in one of Europe's top leagues. And same with Mkhitaryan as well. Shakhtar Donetsk and Ukraine is a very different level to Borussia Dortmund and German football.
Yeah, definitely. And that was a risk Dortmund were always going to have to recognize going for players like this. But, you know, I have to admit, Mkhitaryan, or Mick, I'll call him Mickey, like they're doing in Germany now. It'll help us both. He's actually fit in like a glove, and it surprised me. He's just come in and he's slotted in like he's been there for years. And, you know, that makes Dortmund's management look really, really smart, because he's a guy, I think, that's not really going to have a difficult time adjusting. Unfortunately, he picked up an injury that's going to keep him out for a month, and that's not really going to help his transition. But I think he's a guy that's going to be fine. He complements the rest of the players really well. Marco Reus, for example, he lauded him all preseason long, you know, saying that, you know, this is a guy I feel very comfortable with. It's like he's always been here. So he's not going to be a problem. Aubameyang hasn't been that impressive, maybe partially also because Klopp prefers to play him out wide. And for Saint-Étienne, he played up front for most of the part. But he's a guy with such pace and speed that it would be, I think, unwise for Dortmund not to use that and play him out wide. And I think Klopp's entire thinking is that we bring this guy in for speed, and we'll have a guy like Błażejkowski on the right, maybe Aubameyang on the left, and we'll just use this to enhance our counterattacking game even more.
All of this seems slightly futile when we look at Bayern Munich this summer, bringing in, of course, Mario Götze, bringing in Thiago as well. Now, Pep Guardiola's taking the reins, and it really doesn't get much smoother, does it, in terms of these friendly results, in terms of the way they're playing, and in terms of the way that their two big signings are starting to fit in with this Bayern Munich side? Is it just going to be a perfect season for Bayern next year, do you think, again?
I would be shocked if they didn't win at least two trophies, or at least the cup and the league. What happens in Europe, I don't know. I expect everyone expects him to make the final, and understandably so. And you're right, it just looks like this team has gotten even stronger. And watching them in preseason, I thought, how can this team possibly get any better? And I know it's just preseason games, their opponents aren't of the greatest quality, but the way they're playing, is really unbelievable. And you have these guys like Franz Beckenbauer, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, these great players from great Bayern sides of the 70s, all coming out and saying this is by far, this is the best Bayern team. This is the standard. And it's true when you look at how they're playing. They've just added another element to their game with a player like Thiago. They were missing Schweinsteiger and Martinez for most of the preseason, and it didn't affect them one bit. And with Thiago, they have a guy in there who's going to only enhance their possession game. It's going to make their play much more fluid. And Guardiola is experimenting tactically. He's playing players in different positions, and these players have come out and said it's very refreshing for a coach to use it like this, and it improves our game a lot. So everyone is apparently benefiting.
Going into the German Super Cup, just finally then, Christian, on the weekend, would it be a big statement for Dortmund to be able to put up a big fight against Bayern Munich? I mean, we're talking about how they look perfect at this moment in time. If Dortmund could just raise their game and push Bayern, would it make a big difference to the way we're looking at the season? Or do you think people will still say, over a season, Bayern have got this in the bag? How important is this Super Cup result to the rest of the season?
I think people are going to play it down no matter what happens, but I think it's inevitable or impossible not to attach a certain degree of significance to it, just because of how Bayern were last year and going into this year. Everyone expects them to steamroll the competition, and if Dortmund can show that they can keep up with Bayern, even Bayern who are still integrating some of the players like Götze and Schweinsteiger, who was injured for the past month, then it's going to say a lot about Dortmund and just how they can compete with Bayern. I think that Dortmund, especially this year, more than last year, they have something to prove, just in the sense that they lost a player who is more important to them than in my opinion, than a player like Kagawa or Sahin 2 years before that. And how they replace him is going to be key, and it's going to tell where the team is going. And everything that Dortmund will do this season is going to be measured by how they do against Bayern.
And we will get the first of those contests coming up this weekend. Christian, we can't wait for that. The football season is just around the corner and the real games are starting to turn up. Bayern, though, looking very dangerous in those friendlies. And Christian, we hope to catch up with you later on, possibly next week even, to have a look back at the German Super Cup and definitely before the Bundesliga kicks off as well.
Sounds good, definitely.
Fantastic, mate. Have a wonderful rest of the summer, and we look forward to catching up with you soon, man, and thank you so much for joining us.
You got it. Take care.
Cheers, Christian. Christian Nyari there joining us here on World of Football Daily to talk all things German football. It's too perfect for Bayern Munich, isn't it? It's just too easy, and it's just looking. I said it at the beginning of the show, said it yesterday. A big thank you there to Christian Nyari once again for joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things the Bundesliga football. We have missed. I still don't think we're going to be seeing anything special in terms of any winners, any changes.